everyone here, Lord. You just touch them. You nourish them, as only you can do. We are told we don't hunger or thirst anymore when we have you, Lord. And we love that we have peace with you now. We're not fighting against you, Lord. We have peace with you now through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us just to rest in that. We need rest, Lord. Help us to rest in that and understand just how much you love us and just how much grace we've been given. In Jesus' name, amen. And yeah, like I said, last week we were in Greece and, you know, we're walking around and looking around, and I walked into a shop and Maria's looking at some goodies. This is why, you know, my Colorado State Trooper friend, he retired. He said, this is why I went back to work, because he teaches with us at the college at Colorado Northwest. He said, one of the reasons I went back to work, Chuck, is I like shiny things. So Maria's looking at those shiny things in this little shop in Old Town. Can't even pronounce the name of it. Hania. They say Hania. But anyway, we were there. And it just occurred to me that these people speak Greek. I know. I know I used to be a federal agent, Jennifer, but I'm a little slow sometimes. I'm a little naive. I can still be a little naive. And so I said, hey, you all speak a Greek? And she goes, of course. I said, have you ever read the Bible in Greek? She goes, what? Maybe I pronounced it wrong. Have you ever read the Bible in Greek? I don't know. No. Ooh. Okay. Second person I run into. Maria's looking at shiny things. I'm following along with the, you know, MasterCard. Just kidding. And so she gets in there and she's talking to this lady. You speak a Greek? Yeah, I speak a Greek. Have you ever read the Bible in Greek? Yes, I have. With my grandmother, we used to read it. Okay, now I've got one, right? I've got one. And I said, is there a big difference? Have you read it in English? And I said, because, you know, I'm a student of the Bible. And, you know, and I try to look up Greek words and, you know, and the New Testament was written in Greek. He goes, no, there's not a big difference. She said, but there is some Greek words that's very hard to translate from Greek to a literal translation in English. I said, I get that. But it was cool to find somebody that actually read the Bible in Greek in the original language. And I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, man, how awesome that would be to read it in its original Greek language. But we were there. But walking around, I don't know why, it seemed like there was just people just living for the moment. You know, and just living for the moment. And it kind of made me start just thinking of my own life and thinking, you know, I'm but a vapor, just like we sang the song. I'm but a vapor. So what, and then you go and you read Ecclesiastes and Solomon, who had everything. He said he did not deprive himself of one thing. You know, 700 wives and 300 concubines and gold and silver and the best wine, not just wine, but the best wine, the best, not just food, the best food. He didn't deprive himself of one thing. And he's sitting there writing Ecclesiastes and saying, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You know, what is life? So even the wisest and richest men sit here and wonder, what is my purpose? What am I doing here? And does it even matter? And yes, it does. And God reminded me of that. To him, it does, because it's all about him. And it's all about his revelation to us to bring us to an eternal life with him. So we are temporarily passing through. My dad's 93. He's in the hospital this week. Can't believe I forgot to pray for my dad. Well, I've been praying for him for, you know, 24/7, but he's in the hospital. He's 93. He's got really bad back pain. And when my dad complains, there's a problem. Because he didn't complain about anything. I mean, you could cook him the worst meal ever. Burn the toast, put all kinds of bad stuff in front of him. He would eat it and not say a word. And say, hey, Dad, how'd you like the meal? Oh, it was good. I'm like, come on, really? But when he starts complaining, you know something's wrong. And he ended up in the hospital, and he doesn't take any kind of medicine. He's like one of these guys, I offered him two aspirin one time. We were hiking up in Christmas Meadows. I said, Dad, he had a little bit of a headache. I said, well, it's from the altitude, because you're used to living at sea level down in Georgia. I said, take a couple of aspirin. He says, oh, I'm okay. I had to fight him to have him take two aspirin. Well, now he's taking morphine. So that's how bad it is. Morphine is one of the most powerful painkillers known to men. And so anyway, it just made me think, being over there, and I'm glad to be back. I mean, really, it's like, it's fun to go. It's fun to see other places and stuff, but there's nothing like being back here in Utah, being back with our house and our seven kids. Furballs. Our real kids are all down in Georgia. I got six grandkids by now, by the way. Just had another one. I didn't. They did. So we left off in Galatians. And before I get into Galatians, everybody take your sword. Paul, I know you got your sword. I know you do. Because we had a little coffee get together yesterday. And the only person who showed up armed and dangerous was Paul, including myself. But I always have my little caveat. I go, hey, I got it. I got my word right here. It's on my phone. I got it right here. And I said, well, that doesn't count. It's got to be something that is broadcasting. And this is broadcasting. And we talked about this. You walk around with this in your hand, people know you're of the word. They know that. So let's go to John chapter 1. I wanted to read you this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. They're referring to Jesus here. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do we need light in our life, guys? Yes. We live in a world of darkness. We have to have light. We cannot see where we're going. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. That's good news. There was a man having been sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Now listen to verse 11. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That would be the Jewish nation. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name. Wow. What do I got to do, Chuck? Believe. Have faith. It's that easy? It's that easy. Wow. Even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You have been born again of God, Tanya. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh. Thank you, Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father. The only. Do you hear that? Full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has been ahead of me, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Amen. Now listen to this. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We can smile about that. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. So why are we flirting? Why are we committing adultery with Moses when we're married to Jesus? Y'all don't know where we're going with this, do we? Why are we committed? Why was we got to keep the commandments? Whoa. We are going to go next. You got to come back next week for part two because we're going to find out why the commandments were given. In the first place, they were a teacher to show us Jesus Christ. Because when we get to the end of ourselves, we realize we're imperfect. We are sinful. We still sin, even after we're saved and born again. We still walk in that flesh sometimes. That flesh meaning you can't, if you're a Christian though, you cannot walk in the flesh. It's impossible. You're always walking in the spirit, but you can get into the flesh. And what is that flesh? It's not what we think it is. We think of it as this stuff that's on us. The flesh is that heart that we have that wants to do what we want to do and wants to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And this is where religion comes in. And people say, oh, you're preaching against the Mormons, or you're preaching against the Catholics, or you're preaching against the Baptists. There's Baptists out there that will tell you, you have to obey the Ten Commandments or you're going to hell. And I ask them, which ones have you obeyed? Which of the ones have you kept? Well, I've kept this one and this one and this one. I've actually had a guy tell me he's kept about 8 of them, of the big 10. Now, there's 613 of them, so stand by. The big 10, we always think of the big 10. You know, Moses come down off the mountain with the big 10. And he got mad and broke them at first, then he had to rewrite them, right? But there's 603 more. And I was reading some of them in Leviticus this morning. You can't wear something mixed with wool and flax. What do you got on there? You got a blend? You got a blend on there? Yep, I do. Ooh, you're breaking the commandment. You're a sinner. You need to take your little turtle dove or your little goat. You need to go to the priest right now, shed blood, get it covered up. You can't sow this sowing season, right? We got the plants back there. It's sowing season. You can't plant two different seeds together in a field. It's in the law. It's in the Levitical law. Ooh. Well, what happens if I got mixed up and I plant? Ooh, well, you unintentionally sinned. You need to go and sacrifice a lamb. Go see the priest. We got to get that covered up. We got to get that atoned for. Aren't we glad Christ came? One sacrifice for all, one time to forgive us all our sins where he remembers them no more. And this is the only way we enter in, guys. If you tried to bust heaven wide open with sin in your life, it's not going to happen. So as a believer, by faith, you are righteous, blameless and holy. Wow, that's very arrogant to say, Chuck. Well, that's what the word says you are. In fact, you're a priest. You're a kingdom of priests to him. So we're going to go into Galatians here. We're going to talk about being justified. How many people want to be justified? I do. Especially if I have to go to court. Your Honor, listen. I'm standing here. I want to be justified. So I'm going to try to explain myself. How many times have you been caught doing something? And you say, well, I can explain it. I had a little too much to drink. Huh? That's going to give you an excuse? Oh, I can explain it. I was a little behind on my bills. And I had to go jack up the store, rob some money. That's not going to justify you. Keep trying. Keep trying. So we all try to justify our actions. We start, and before we start throwing stones and saying, well, justify yourself, explain your actions, we need to think about how are we just in a world full of injustice? Because the world is unjust. That's just the way it is. And it always has been. And so we are, that's why we are set apart. We're sanctified, which means we're set apart for him. So let's go into Galatians. What does justified mean? It means declared or made righteous in the sight of the Lord. So I ask you again, who wants to be justified? I do. I want to be justified. I want to be declared or made righteous in the sight of the Lord. Well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to be justified? It also means being moved from the state of sin, which is, if you're in the state of sin, you're in a state of injustice, to the state of grace. And when you're walking under grace, and you're under grace, you're justified. Even when you sin. Whoo, that's pretty rough to handle, isn't it? You mean even when I sin, I'm justified before God? Read the book. Well, I got to do something, right? I got to atone. No, he did it. Read the book. Well, I feel like I need to do something. I feel like, and this is that religion in us. It's also called the flesh in us. It wants to rise up and say, let me put on my, what I call this? What is this, like a sire? What do you call those guys? Let me put on my holy stuff here and let me get my ephod with my Urim and Thummim and my diamonds, and let me get my phylactery with my scriptures in it, and let me put tassels on my garments and get my robe really long, and let me walk down the street. I am holy. I am holy. How'd you get that way? Well, I keep all the commandments of Moses and my father, Abraham. Really? You do? You do that? Because Jesus destroys these people when he comes. If you think a thought, you think a thought, you did it. Huh? So Jesus said, you think it, you did it. Ooh. Okay, I'm guilty then. Well, what I got to do? Believe. Have faith in the one who didn't do it. Amen? Justified. God looks down from heaven on the human race to see if there is one who is wise, one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Woo! It says all. All have turned away. All alike have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. That's mentioned twice in Psalm 14 and in Psalm 53. And if you go to the end of those Psalms, if you want to read them for yourself, verse 7 says, oh, that Israel's deliverance or salvation would come from Zion. Prophecy of Jesus Christ, right there in the Old Testament. Oh, that the deliverance, salvation of Israel would come from Zion. Where did he come from? Born a Jew, under the law, in Bethlehem, walked among us. There he is, right there. So justified. What then? Romans says this, and Paul is quoting scripture here when he says, what then? Are we any better off? He's talking to the ones that are trying to keep the law. Are we any better off? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. So what then? Galatians 3, 8, and 9. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by their good works. Is that what it says? By their outstanding performance. Is that what it says? By their following a set of rules. Is that what it says? No, it says, would justify the Gentiles by faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Not a man, but God who came down and dwelt among us, as we just read. The Word. The light came into the world. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. proclaim the gospel. So he came, would justify the Gentiles by faith. That's you and I, guys. Unless you're of Jewish descent, that's you and I. There's really only two people mentioned in the Bible. The Jews, the chosen ones, and the grafted in ones, the Gentiles. And there was no hope for us before Jesus came. We were those pagans that were out there. In fact, the Jews wouldn't even sit down and eat dinner with you. You're below us. And that's why they got mad at Jesus and says, what are you doing eating with sinners and winebibbers? What are you doing hanging out with these lowly Gentiles? What are you doing? If you were God, if you were Jesus, God's only son, you would know that these people are sinners. And that was their rationale. And so it says that Abraham, saying all the nations will be blessed in you. Now catch that word, all. All the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Wow. The Lord said to Abram, so he goes back to Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. We're all familiar with this Genesis story. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, or I'll curse those that curse you. And we can see that today with modern Israel. You want to try to go up against modern day Israel? What's going to happen to you? Many people have tried. That's biblical prophecy also. Once the nation of Israel is reestablished, it will never fall again till Christ comes. Try to blow up Israel, you're going to get your head knocked off. Just because they don't believe doesn't mean God's covenant is broken with them. But God has a new covenant with us. And that's his blood shed for us. So we're under the new covenant. And that used to freak me out when somebody said, well, I'm under the new covenant. Well, what's new covenant? And I grew up knowing the Bible. I grew up in a pastor's house. I grew up in a grandfather pastor's house. I grew up with pastors all around me. Everybody in my family had something to do with the church. And if you'd asked me years ago, what's the new covenant? Like, I don't know. What's the new covenant? What's good news? Well, what's the good news? Jesus shed his blood for you. We don't have, we're the old covenant has been, vamos, see you. So why are we still flirting with Moses when we got Jesus? I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Not just the nation of Israel. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham and his seed, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 49, here's another prophecy about Jesus. It is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations. Who is that light we just read about in John? Jesus. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvations to the ends of the earth. Even to Heber City. Wow. Can you imagine God looking forward 2,000 years ago, putting his son on the cross and saying, not my will, but your will be done, Father. Shedding his blood, going through that. No one ever went willingly to the cross except Jesus. How about that? And he looked and he saw Heber City. And he saw you. And he said, if you believe in me and have faith in me, come, come. He's going to be the salvations to the end of the earth. So justified, Galatians 3:11. And I'm going to go over four things here in these next four verses that are going to be very important. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Wow. So there you go. No one is justified by the law. No one can keep the law. Galatians 3:12. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. He's saying, if you are a rule keeper, you're going to live by those, and you're going to keep making more rules. Judge Jennifer, how many rules are there in the legal world? I bet you have to read forever. And I saw this when I was a federal agent, the Code of Federal Regulations. 36 CFR, 50 CFR, 40, all these code. One rule after another. If you live by those, you're going to die by them, the word says. Because you're eventually going to make a rule that's going to come back and bite you. And you're going to try to live this straight and narrow life, and you're going to realize, I can't do it. And then you're going to realize, that's the reason Jesus did it. Because I can't. So if you're law keeping, it breeds more laws, and everybody is watching. And if you're a law keeper, you're also a watcher. You're watching other people to see if they're behaving or not. Gotcha. Saw you in the liquor store. Gotcha. Whatever, right? Whatever. You're a gotcha person. And then one day, somebody turns around and says, got you. And you're like, whoa. And you try to run and hide. We say long worm, it doesn't turn, right? Watch how far you point that finger, because it's starting to turn around and come right back. Everybody's watching everybody. I got you. We caught her. We caught her, Jesus. We caught her in the very act. Here she is. Moses said we should stone her to death. What do you say? One by one, they walked away. One by one. Woman, where are your accusers? I have none, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And that go and sin no more has bothered me. And I prayed about it. I said, do you really think she went away and sinned no more? No. She's probably sleeping with some other guy the next day. I don't know. But I'm just speculating. But I'm saying, there's no way she didn't go and sin anymore. Because we know the scripture says, if we say we're without sin, we're a liar. But we've been made sin free, righteous by the blood. So I think that go and sin no more means you've met me. You've seen me. I have not accused you. You're free. That now you're free from sin. You can go and live your life. That's the go sin no more. That's the go sin no more, because you have met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has forgiven you. There you go. Now, I'm going to go into the world. And even if I sin, he's not going to account it to my ledger. He's not going to be up there with his little, oh, you sinned again. Let's bring her back out here. Get your stones ready, guys. No, that's not Jesus. He destroyed the ledger. He destroyed the account against you. And you say, well, how can he do that? That's how great his grace is. That's how great his love is. We can't comprehend that. Read Hosea. His wife's going around cheating on him, prostituting herself. And he says, you're gonna take her back. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. He says, just like the nation of Israel going out and prostitute with all these other gods, But I'm going to bring her back. I still love her, even though she's cheated on me. Wow. You know, I don't need to know out loud, but if you've ever been in a relationship where somebody's cheated on you or something like that, how hard is that to forgive that person as if it never happened and say, I still love you. I'm still here for you. That's the love of God that we cannot comprehend. Because we're kicking people to the curb. We're kicking people to the curb every day. Oh, you looked at me wrong. Oh, you didn't say the right thing at church. Done with you. You insulted me. Done with you. Disrespected me. Done with you. How many times have we done that to God? And he's like, I'm not done with you. You're mine. In fact, I expected this behavior. I expected this behavior. That's why I died for you. You can't fool God. We try to fool him. We don't. We try to fool him. God, I'm good. I'm doing good. Yeah, you're doing good because you believe in me. You're doing good because you have faith in me. And my righteousness is accounted unto you as righteousness. I'll take that. That's all I can take. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Did I skip one? Nope. Okay, so Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Four truths about the law. Here we go. If you're under the law, you're under a curse. Hello. Now, guys, I want you to understand that if you get this, you are in the 1% in the world. This is my own statistics. This is my own research. This is not Google. Statistics according to Chuck. You're in the 1% in the world that gets it, if you get this. Because 99% of the population out there, the majority is not Christian. And then the part that is Christian or calls himself Christian perverts the gospel by adding something to it or taking something away from it or by chasing a feeling or an emotional experience or a spiritual high. And they're missing the God of all grace and mercy, who's right before you. So the kingdom of God is came near to you. He used to tell disciples, when you go into a town and you preach the good news and they reject you, to kick the dust off your feet, right? And walk away and tell that person the kingdom of God has come near to you today. It's that close. It's that decision in your mind that we were talking about, Paul, right? It's that decision in your mind. Where you make that decision that I believe he is who he says he is. I believe the word of God. I have faith in him. Click, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm his. But if you're still under the law, you're still having a little affair over here with Moses, you're cheating on God is what you're doing. Well, I believe we should try to keep the Ten Commandments, Chuck. I think it's a good thing if we try to keep them. Okay, well, let me know how that works out for you. When we understand grace, we don't have to try to do anything. We just naturally respond to his love by loving other people. Because he first loved me, I can love you. Because he was kind to me, I can be kind to you. Because he forgave me, I can forgive you. That's walking in the Spirit. It's not rules and regulations. It's when I understand what he's done for me, what he's rescued me from, what he's brought me out of. When that really sinks into my mind, I don't live by a bunch of rules and regulations. I walk by the Spirit of God. I love you, Jeff. I can say that by the Spirit. I don't have to have a commandment that says, you shall love Jeff. And if you don't love Jeff, then you need to go repent. And every other day, well, I love him today because he did something nice for me. But I don't love him today because he didn't bring me a coffee today. You know, one of those cafe con leche mocha things where when I go to coffee with the guys, I wait to be last because I don't want them to make fun of what I'm ordering. Because all men are like, oh, I drink my coffee black, especially Coast Guard, military. Oh, I drink my coffee black. And then you'll catch the general or somebody going up, hey, I'd like one of those white mocha lattes with some light little caramel macchiato in there and some vanilla. Like, what? And you're a man? So if you're under the law, you're still under a curse. Thank God. We're under a new covenant. No one's justified before God by the law. If you could be, he came from nothing. The law is not based on faith. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Those are four truths about the law. If you're still trying to live by it, you're under a curse. No one's justified. You'll never be justified by trying to live by the old Moses law. And the law is not based on faith. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, if you heard that, you heard less than 1% of the world is going to hear that today. I'm not saying that to be bragging or arrogant that I know everything. Read the Bible. Read the Word. Research it yourself. You know, I get people all the time want to argue about stuff. Well, let's talk about eternal salvation. Can you lose your salvation? Or can, I said, I'm not even going to talk to you about that because that's the most basic of basic understandings you can be. How can I be born again and be unborn? You can't. It's impossible. How can I be a new creation and go back to being an old creation? It's impossible. The new has come. The old is gone. He said, I'm going to give you new wine. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. Y'all like new stuff? I like new stuff. Maria likes new shiny stuff. I'm going to give her a chance to preach one day and she's going to get me. She's going to go, turnabout's fair play. I love you. So the purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by what? By the law? By us keeping the law? By us doing good? No, by Christ Jesus. So we could receive the promised Spirit. How? Through faith. That's good news. We can smile about that. Well, I ain't got to do nothing. No, you ain't got to do nothing. And people get me wrong all the time. They say, well, Chuck, what you're preaching is you're saying I can just go do whatever I want to do. I said, that's exactly what I'm preaching. Now, what do you want to go do? You just indicted yourself if you're thinking you're going to go in the gutter with this. Grace doesn't make me want to go sin more. It makes me want to go love more. Grace doesn't drive me into crazy orgies and drinking parties and all kinds of debauchery. It drives me into wanting to live a clean life for Him and to show love to everybody else. I'm free to do that. Well, Chuck, you got to take up your cross. You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I said, and who did that? Who did it? Who did it? Name one person that did that. They all ran. Nobody took up their cross and followed him. Taking up your cross is taking up Jesus Christ. He took the cross for you. That's what it means when he says, take up your cross and follow me. That means believe in me. I'm going to do what you can't do. Well, I think I could go to the cross. I think I'm a tough guy. I think I could go to the cross. Really? Let me remind you that no one ever went to the cross willingly except Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a minute. Why? Because of you and me. He suffered. He took the wrath of what we deserved. He took it. He said, this is for you, Sean. This is for you, Maria. We receive the promise by faith. By faith, we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I am justified. I am justified. I am justified by my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for justifying us, Lord, through our belief in you. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to the cross, and we can't go to the cross. We wouldn't be able to do that. We would run and hide, just as Peter. We would be cowards. You took our penalty. You took our wrath so that we can live with you forever in eternity and have peace with you in your kingdom. And Lord, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.